Heavenly Father, may we be open to your word. May we learn from you and put into practice your teaching. Amen. At All Saints, what are we doing here? What is our purpose, our direction? Why are you here? That's the question God asks Elijah in 1 Kings 19. And some background to the story. Elijah has been running for his life. King Ahab and his equally wicked Queen Jezebel are out to kill him. Elijah confronted him, confronted 450 Baal prophets. And this was with a test of power on Mount Sinai, on Mount Carmel, prayed for rain, then ran faster than a chariot to flee into the wilderness where he lays down and prays that he might die. I've had enough. Just let me die. I'm no better off than my ancestors. I have had enough, Lord. Have you prayed that? But God has a plan for him. God fortifies Elijah with food and drink because his journey isn't over yet. Poor Elijah has to travel 40 days and 40 nights to get to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. And when we get to verse 9, this is what happened. And he spent the night there in a cave. While Elijah was on Mount Sinai, the Lord asked, "Elijah, why are you here?" And he answered, "Lord God, all-powerful, I've always done my best to obey you, but your people have broken their solemn promise to you. They have torn down your altars and killed all your prophets except me. And now they're even trying to kill me." This is a bit of a poor me moment, but you can understand why. Poor Elijah has been through a lot, literally life and death. And God comes and speaks. "Go out and stand on the mountain," the Lord replied. "I want you to be there when I pass by." Let's pause for a moment there. What is Elijah expecting? God to show up in all his glory, heavenly hosts to take him away to somewhere comfortable and peaceful? Oh no. Instead, a wind comes and slams right into the mountain. Poor Elijah. I mean, this wind was so powerful that even the rocks were torn loose. But the Lord was not in the wind. Then comes an earthquake. You can imagine everything. Rubble falling down, the earth trembling. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Then comes a fire. And you can imagine poor Elijah at the entrance of the cave. If he goes out, he'll be burnt to a crisp. But the Lord was not in the fire. Poor Elijah has been through a lot. And sometimes it feels as if we've been through a lot, doesn't it? Each of us has a unique life story to tell. Some of us have faced loneliness, grief, pain, disappointment, relationship breakdown, fear and exclusion. We've been through a pandemic that separated us physically and mentally. And some of us have faced crisis after crisis after crisis. God does show up, but in unexpected ways. And for Elijah, after the fire, there was a quiet, gentle sound. Verse 13 says, "And when Elijah heard it, he covered his face with his coat. He went out and stood at the entrance to the cave." In this scene, God is in the whisper, in the stillness, in the quiet, separate from the noise and commotion. And it doesn't mean that God can't communicate with us through the noise and commotion, because he can. But we need to be able to discern his voice. We need to be able to discern his voice from the other competing voices. The voices that say, "You're not good enough." The voices that say, "You're better than that person." The voices on the telly, on the radio, in social media. The toxic relationships. In our pain. God continuously speaks to us. The question is, are we listening? There's a second reading which the 6 o'clockers will hear later on, and it's Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. The fruit of the Spirit. God's Spirit makes us loving, happy, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled. There is no law against behaving in any of these ways. The fruit of the Spirit is gentle, gentle. What is gentleness? I tell you what it isn't. It isn't weakness. It's not weakness. Gentleness is strength submitted under God's control. I'll give you an example, an illustration. Water. Water can be harnessed. So it goes through a water mill that helps grind the wheat that can feed thousands of people. Water can be used from a dam to turn the turbines that generates electricity that can power a whole city. But water, unchecked, can become a flood that destroys lives, livelihood, and also the environment. Water can become a tsunami wave. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is just that, one fruit. It develops and grows within our lives. It's not a fruit from a fruit market in which you can pick and choose which bits you like. Love is the blossom. Love is the blossom. Love is the blossom through which the fruit of the Spirit is produced. Without love, there is no fruit. Love expresses gentleness through a tender word a tender action, a tender touch. Without gentleness, love does not touch others. Without gentleness, our touch is harmful rather than helpful. It's painful rather than pleasing. It's selfish rather than selfless. We see the gentle touch of God in how Jesus treats others. He's a great example. In John 4, Jesus' gentle touch with the Samaritan woman. In John 8, Jesus' gentle touch with the woman caught in adultery. In Luke 19, Jesus' gentle touch with Zacharias, the tax collector. Because Jesus came in gentleness to restore our relationship with God. Jesus came in gentleness to restore our relationship with God. Following on from Lizzie's sermon last week, which is about the value simple, this week we'll be concentrating on gentle. And I cannot emphasize enough that the three values of simple, gentle, and connected are a starting point for us to have a conversation about where you think we are now and where you believe God is asking us to be. And this is an opportunity to share your thoughts. Everyone in the congregation, those who are homebound, the children, they'll be asked these questions. So within this preaching teaching session, there is an activity for you to do. And it's important that we do this because just like Elijah, we have to discern God's will. So at the back of church, there is the gentle notice board. And hopefully you would have been given a post-it note or a piece of paper and a pen or pencil. And we would like you to just think on these words, these questions that we have on the screen. We'll take a few minutes just to read them. And then for you to have a few minutes to turn to your neighbour, or if you like to be by yourself, to talk about these questions. Write down your response on the notes and pin them on the notice board. If you are one of those deep thinkers, I want to take time, that's fine. You can come back next week with your answer, or you can email the church office. So the questions are we people of gentleness? Where might we need to repent for a lack of grace to one another? Do we practice compassion, kindness, humility, patience, forgiveness, love, thankfulness? Are we open to learning, being admonished, being challenged? Are our relationships with one another an expression of our love of Jesus? And what is the experience of people joining our church? It doesn't matter if you've been coming here for 60 minutes or 60 years, your views are important. So, Mitch, can we have some instrumental music in the background while people think about these questions? And then once you've pinned your answers onto the board at the back of church, I'll bring us all together in a closing prayer and we'll continue with the rest of the service.